I mentioned a few weeks ago when I was studying the preaching on the passage that was talking about the Word of God being living and powerful and all of that. I mentioned that that was one of those passages of Scripture that I could spend an awful lot of time on. It's one that I really like. Well, this is another one of those that I could probably spend a lot of time on because I really like it. Now, we took a big chunk in the Scripture reading, and part of the problem is that the sentences in here are very, very long, and they run on, and they kind of tie together. Now, that tying together is good stuff, because when we realize how it goes from one idea to the next, we understand that even though there's a lot of different topics that come up, it's all moving in one general flow here. But it does mean that if we want to try to slice it up into chunks that are clear, we end up with pretty big sections. Now, we do have, in the Scripture reading today, we do have what is pretty much a parenthesis, a little bit of a diversion where he goes off onto a slight side topic. Because the general topic here is Jesus Christ and his role as high priest, and how as high priest he is superior to the priesthood of Aaron and the Levites. And so the discussion about the priesthood of Jesus Christ is sort of interrupted here with this little bit of an aside that begins down in verse 11, chapter 5, verse 11. And what he says here, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. Now, the flow seems to indicate that he's saying that there's a lot that he could say about Melchizedek, and he does come back and say a lot more about Melchizedek later on. But he interrupts himself. He says, it's really hard to explain this to you because you've become dull of hearing. So from that point on until really, basically when we get down to about, maybe chapter 6, verse 12 or so, somewhere in there we really come back into the main topic. 13 or so is where we come back into the main line of the topic. He takes this little diversion, and it covers several different topics in it. But the first thing that he talks about here is why it's hard to explain this. Why is he going to have to spend so much time discussing this topic with the people? And it's really an important section for us, because this is something that every believer needs to think about. In here we have the we have much to say, hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. He brings up two points with regard to the condition of the people that he's writing to. One is, he says, they have become dull of hearing. The second one is a kind of general thing that flows out of this, that they are unskilled in the Word of God. They are immature in their understanding. Now, those two fit together, and I'm not sure which one really feeds the other, or if it's kind of a mutual reinforcement kind of thing. But we're going to look at those as two separate issues that we need to consider. And the first one, he talks about become dull of hearing. Now, that expression of being dull of hearing is one that only appears, the Greek formation here only appears in Hebrews. He uses it twice in the book. And There are similar expressions in other places, but the basic thrust here is a really almost harsh condemnation of the people that he's writing to. He's basically saying to them, you've stopped listening. You've made a deliberate decision to stop paying attention. And it's hard to explain something when the students aren't listening. I'm not really looking at the kids over here or anything. I just... We have this problem as human beings that we get bored with things. And when we get bored, we stop listening. And when we stop listening, we stop learning. And so we sometimes have to make an extra effort to stay on track. The real big thing for the people that he's writing to here is they need to understand why Melchizedek, this guy who shows up for a couple of brief sentences in Genesis, why Melchizedek matters when we're talking about Jesus Christ, the high priest. Why does this even matter? This guy that Abraham encountered way back there, why does it matter? And the people aren't listening. He says, it's hard to explain this to you if you don't pay attention. It's complicated. And so he needs attention. Now there's a lesson in there for all of us. And we start thinking about the truths of God is that there is a fundamental level, a very simple level of truth about God and about Jesus Christ. We can explain the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, the message of salvation, very briefly and very simply. It's something that even a small child can understand. The fact that God loves us enough that he was willing to send Jesus Christ to die for our sins. And we can explain that and we can get the basic idea very simply. But that's just the beginning. That's just touching on the surface. And if we stop at that point, if we quit listening, if we get tired of hearing, if we become dull of hearing, and we never go beyond that, we never understand the full message that God has for us. We never understand the full truth. I attended a church a few times where it was a good church, really nice people, friendly people, good music, generally really liked it, served good coffee, all the important stuff. And the sermons were good gospel salvation messages. Every one of them. But every one of them was just a simple message of the gospel and salvation. Every single one of them. And so you had a church that we like to describe as being a mile wide and an inch deep. Everybody knew the gospel. Everybody knew the story of salvation. Everybody could tell somebody how to be saved. Nobody understood the depth of what Jesus Christ had done. I don't think that that's really true. I'm sure there were people who did. But you weren't going to get it from the depth of the preaching that was going on. And so we end up, if we're dull of hearing, we end up with just this shallow surface faith in Christ. And the writer of Hebrews, if anything, wants these people to go deep. Because when you go deep, something happens. Now, think about their condition at this time. These are people who believe in Jesus Christ. They are people who came to faith in Jesus Christ out of Judaism. They were Jews first. Evidently, based on some of the things that we have around the context and things that we can kind of deduce from the way that he writes and things, these were people who were in an area where, as Christians, they were coming under persecution, probably from Jews, maybe from the government, but probably from Jews, and there was tremendous pressure for them to abandon Christ and go back to Judaism, because Judaism was okay in that place and that culture. And so if they went back to Judaism, there would be no persecution. There would be no struggle. There would be no suffering. They wouldn't have to deal with the consequences of faith in Christ. And if they're dull of hearing, if they're not willing to listen and learn, and they end up being just that inch deep, we're a lot like when Jesus talks about the different soils in his parable. You know, the sower went out to sow, and the seed landed on these different soils. And some of it landed on the path, and there's no soil at all, and the birds ate it. Some of it landed in the rocks, and there's just a little bit of soil, and it springs up, but it dies out. Some of it landed in shallow soil, and it grew up and just didn't do much. And some of it landed in good soil and grew and did well. Shallow soil or shallow water dries out when it gets hot. That's the whole point of the letter to the Hebrews, is that you're coming into hard times and you need to be prepared for it and you need to be faithful to Jesus Christ. And so he's wanting to reinforce their faith. He wants them to have a reason to stay close to Jesus and not revert back to Judaism. And so he says, we need to know about Jesus as high priest, because that's the big contrast when we look to Judaism and we talk about the priest and all that. Jesus Christ satisfies the role of high priest. We've got to talk about that. We've got to understand that. He says, but it's going to be hard because you don't want to listen. You stopped listening. And not only have you stopped listening, he says, you've been believers for a while. You've been believers for long enough that you ought to be teachers by now. You ought to know enough that you can tell others these things that I'm telling you. And so, they've become dull of hearing. They've lost their desire to learn. And in that, they become perpetual students. Only not really good perpetual students. What we might look at more particularly, they are the kind of students that are repeating the second grade for the 25th time. It's bad if you start drawing Social Security while you're still in the second grade. Isaiah, in Isaiah 28, was giving the religious leaders a hard time. And as he was doing this, he reports here the way that they mocked him for taking them to task. So 28:9, and this is the response of the leaders of the church. Whom will he teach knowledge, and whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk, those just drawn from the breast? For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. And then Isaiah, back to what Isaiah says. For with stammering lips and another tongue, he, that's God, will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was to them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and caught. We use this passage out of context a lot, and I'm using it a little bit out of context here this morning. But that expression, the precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, is the way that you teach children. This is talking about how little children are to be taught. And the religious leaders are saying, you're telling us that we need to learn like little children. And he says, if you don't learn, God's going to teach you. And he's going to teach you just like you teach little children. Precept on precept, line on line, here a little, there a little. It builds from a foundation. And every time I think about the process we go through in learning about God, in learning Scripture, this always comes to my mind because it has that great flow, that precept on precept, line on line, here a little, there a little. It sounds like we start building pieces and layering it up and building it up, which is exactly the principle behind it. As an expression, it's how are you going to learn about God? You've got to start with the basics. You've got to move forward. And so back in Hebrews here, he says, everyone who partakes of milk only is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, there's an echo back there in Isaiah about the babes having to learn. He says, if you need milk because you are unskilled in the word of righteousness, you're a child. And you don't send a child out into the hostile world to defend themselves. A child is not equipped to handle the challenges of the world. And so he says to these people, you should be teachers. You should be adults. You need to be adults. He says, you should be people who are looking for the solid meat of the Word of God. Getting into the depths of it, getting down to where you really learn the deep truths, the complicated things, where you challenge yourself with the things that God has told us that don't provide easy one-line answers. He says the reason you need that is because solid food belongs to those who are of full age. Those who are mature is what that means. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You see, we have to learn to be able to understand what is right and what is wrong. What is of God and what is of Satan. What is good and what is evil. We learn that through our time in the Word of God. And if we neglect the Word, if we neglect the study, we don't have that ability to make that discernment. We don't have the maturity. Now, we're sitting in a time in the world where there's a lot of things going on which are contrary to God's desires, where the world is not looking to Jesus Christ. The world is not looking to righteousness. And the world is challenging us on every point of our faith. And if we want to be able to stand, if we want to be something other than little children thrown into a war, we need to be dining on the meat of the Word of God. We need to be beyond the spiritual milk. We need to exercise ourselves to discernment. We need to be growing, and we can only do that, growing to maturity through study in the Word. We need to have living ears. We can't have those dull ears that won't listen. We can't be in a mode of just hear what we want to hear and ignore the rest. We cannot look at the superficial and say that's good enough. We have an obligation. If we claim Jesus Christ, we have an obligation, as the people that he was writing to here had an obligation, to become teachers, to know the Word, to be mature in the Word of God, so that when we come to challenges, we aren't an inch of water that's dried up by the heat of trials. That we have the depth of the knowledge of the Word of God so that we can put it to work and that we can stand firm in our faith because we know the truth. And we're not based on just a few catchphrases or a quick explanation or 16 pages of a tract. But because we have learned the Word of God and we've gone deep in it and we've seen the challenges and we've seen the answers and we've devoted ourselves to knowing what God has said so that we reach full maturity and are able to discern what is good and what is evil in the world around us and that we can stand against it. We are the people of that the Hebrews is written to. We are the people that he is challenging. Are we willing to become those deep, mature, knowledgeable believers, solid, able to defend our faith when we're attacked by Satan's minions around us? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, you've given us your Word. You've given us everything that we need to know you, to understand what we should do in this world. You've revealed your truth to us in it. And Lord, I pray that as we think about this, as we dwell on this, that we would have a spirit to dive into your Word, that we would dig deep. I pray, Lord, that you will give us a heart to know you, a heart to know your Word, that you would give us the desire to put down the deep roots that are necessary to stand strong when times get hard. Just ask for your guidance, your help, your strengthening as we try to become those mature believers. In Jesus' name, amen.